We're very happy today to have Wenjie Ji giving a talk today. Wenjie is currently a postdoc at UC Santa Barbara. Before that, she got her PhD from MIT under the supervision of Xiaogang Wen. She's done many interesting things, including this recent work on categorical symmetries, which I think coincidentally we'll hear from Xiaogang next Monday. But today she'll be giving a talk on her recent work on fracton phases, which in another coincidence, we had a talk from Shi Chen yesterday. But I think she'll be giving, Wenjie will be giving a very different perspective. We're happy to hear about that. Wenjie, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Tim, for the kind invitation. And I'm very happy to here to give a talk at PI and talking about this recent very new work on hybrid fracton phases. We just posted the paper about 2 weeks ago. So this is a work done with Nat from Harvard University. He's a student of Ashwin and also with Sagar Vijay. He used to be a postdoc at Harvard and now also coming to UC Santa Barbara. Okay, let me begin why I come to, okay, let me begin with the plan. So since the title suggests that this is going to be some hybrid phases, I will start with the introduction about the topological ordered phase and its very exotic cousins that's called fracton orders, which attracts so many interests for the last about 10 years. And then we will, after we're comparing some similarities and differences between these two kinds of orders, we can begin to wonder, are there any models that are going to exhibit the phenomenological of both kinds of topological phases? Then I'll give you a very concrete example of a hybrid model of Z2 topological toric code in 3D and the Z2 fracton orders. And after a detailed study about that, we are going to zoom out and say why this two model can exist, why our exact solvable model can work. That's because observation about symmetry fractionalization. And using that, we propose our general construction to construct all kinds of a family of hybrid models. And these kinds of hybrid models are also natural parent orders of both the Z2 topological order and the Z2 fracton orders. Okay, let me begin. So start with a topological order phase, which is what I'm always being interested in. And this kind of phase is rich in many, many ways. For example, it's first discovered in this fractional quantum Hall states. It exhibits fractionalized excitations. And when you turn on the magnetic field to very strong length scale in an electron system, the single electron, which are fractionalized into many excitations carrying smaller electric charge. And these kinds of phase and also can simultaneously exhibit degenerate ground states. And more exotically, these excitations, they can detect each other remotely by, say, braid one braid with another. And because of this kind of remotely detection feature, these states are in general very stable against local perturbations. And since the discovery of a fractional quantum Hall, there's a very burst studies about this topological order phase. We have now begin to have a lot of tools to study them. For example, there has been constructed a lot of lattice models and that we can solve them exactly and study their features. The one model that's relevant for our talk is this Z2 topological order. And sometimes it's also called as a toric code model. It has two terms. One is the placate terms on a cubic lattice, that the placate term is a product of all the Z operators. And it also has a vertex term that's a product of all the X operators on edges around a vertex. And this this model to high energy people can also be they are also, one can see that this is also the Z2 gate theory in the described in the deconfined phase. Now, this phase, it has two kinds of excitation. One is just a point-like excitation, that is an E particle, and it can be freely to move all around. And there's a second kind, that's a loop excitation. And this we sometimes also call this M excitations. It's a kind of a Z2 flux. So once this Z2 charge goes around this Z2 magnetic flux, it will pick up a pi phase, this our number of a bomb phase. So this is a most simple example of 3D topological orders. And because of this lattice model, we can reveal more deeper reason why these states are stands out, has those exotic features. And that's because these states are long-range entangled. And using this lattice model, we can explicitly calculate the entanglement entropy. And there's always a universal term that will be related to the ground state degeneracy. So the phase exhibit this kind, so we'll call them a long-range entangled phase. And then about 10 years ago, people have been realized that there's also a new kind of topological order phase, which is sometimes also called fracton phases now. This phase is also similar to ordinary topological orders in many ways. For example, they're also degenerate ground state, and these kind of degeneracies are also protected from any kind of local perturbations without restriction, without relying on any global symmetries. So in this sense, these are all topological phases. However, these phases are very exotic. And for example, there are excitations that has restricted mobilities. There are excitations that point-like excitation that cannot move at all, or they can only move along single directions. And more differently, the ground state degeneracy is usually not a constant number that in the thermodynamic limit, but itself always scales with the system size. So this study begins with a model called the Haas code that proposed that about 10 years ago. And this also coming from exactly solvable models. It looks like this. It has two cube terms, and it's defined on the cubic lattice, where on each side there are two qubits. And the one kind of the terms around the cube is the product of all Z operators arranged like this. And the second kind is a product of X operators arranged like this. So this model looks like exotic. You can solve it and found that there are immobile excitations. You can excite a fractal number of a number of them in a fractal shapes, but none of them can move by itself freely without cost a lot of energy. And after that, that will start as like very exotic single example. But later, people have found another kind types of fracton phases, now called a type 1 fracton phases. The representative example is this Z2 X cube model. So it's also a model described on 3D cubic lattice and one cubic on but there's one qubit on each placate now. And it also exactly solvable models of two kind of terms. One is this a vertex terms, is the product of 12x operators around on the placates around each vertex. And the second kind of term is this cage kind of term. It can orient it in three directions. For along each direction, it's going to be a product of the Z operators for four Z operators around the placate. So this model first, it also looks a little bit resembling of the toric code model, has a vertex term and a fluxless condition term. And then you solve this model, you find a similar feature to toric code, that it also has two kinds of excitations. One is a bit similar as the Z2 charge operator, as it violates this vertex term. And the other kind is this kind of, and another kind is like a flux excitation, but actually here is a point excitation, and that violates this that violates this cage terms. But as a topological order phase, the first excitations now cannot, this charge analogy to the charge excitations, it actually cannot move by itself. But if you create four of them together, they together can move around. And actually, if you create only two of a pair of them, they can move around within a plane. And this more flux-like resembling excitations, it can only move along single directions. And this is how the excitations goes as with different mobilities with respect to the ordinary topological order phase. Then you calculate the ground state degeneracy. It will scale linearly with the system size as such. So after we have accumulated so many examples of fractal orders, it's very natural that people begin to wonder, are they, how are they related? Are they like at the topological level, like the same? Then we begin to, then people found that by the tour of a randomization group, they're actually not really the same. So you take this 3D phases, you can design local unitary quantum circuits to foliate out one single layer of of models, and then you study this single layer. And in general, for all the ordinary topological order phase we discovered, this single layer after you foliated out is always a short-range entangled phase without any topological entanglement entropy. But for this kind of fractal order phase, if you foliate out one single layer, it's actually a long-range entangled phase. For example, for the X cube model, well, each layer you foliate out, we're going to be a 2D topological toric code. So this really demonstrate that these two kind of topological orders are quite different, of quite different nature. But then we want to understand how are they related. So there have been efforts trying to relate the two orders. There are already many studies to show that you can start with strongly coupled layers of lower dimensional topological phases, say 2D toric code. And then by designing different interactions, you can enter either the pure fractal phase or the pure 3D topological ordered phase. So this kind of couple layer construction give you intermediate phase that bridge the pure fractal phase and the 3D topological ordered phase. But since it's a coupled layer construction, it's it seems not may not be very intrinsic 3D phase. And also, there are also many, many efforts to see if these two kinds of efforts, two kinds of orders can coexist. And indeed, people have found in several lattice models, There are excitations that can be both immobile and have non-abelian nature. It means that if you fuse two excitations, you can get another excitations has a higher quantum dimension. And besides these immobile excitations, these models also have a mobile excitations in the same time. However, all these constructions are very standing alone examples. For example, some take two copies of X cube models and just utilize this exchange symmetries and then gauge the symmetries to get this kind of model. And then it's because of this construction, it's like very hard to study more topological data, such as the braiding between these kind of excitations. So we want to see if there are more straightforward, easily accessible relations between these two orders. So the goal of this talk is actually, we want to show you that we have found models that can hybrid these two orders. They can coexist and cannot be separable. So let's to set the stage and be clear what we mean by hybrid order here. So these kind of order phase, they will have excitations resembling both orders. They will have mobile, these 3D models, they will have mobile particles as well as mobile loops. And they will have immobile particles that's resembling both the charge as this pink one, and also those resembling the flux. So they inherit all the excitations from the separate orders. And these kind of two sets of excitations, they're not separable because they can fuse into each other. For example, the fracton, two fractons can fuse into a mobile charge, and two loops, they don't fuse into a vacuum, but into some a set of lineons that usually appear at the corners of those loops. And more, these excitations all can remotely detect each other. Not only the mobile charge can detect the mobile loops, the mobile loop can also remotely detect the existence of a single fracton by braiding with it around like this. And okay, and for the simplest Z2 topological order, hybrid with the Z2X cube, this indeed is the data. If you take a mobile loop braids with a single fracton, you accumulate a phase I, comparing to if you take a mobile charge coming from the Z2 topological order and braid with the M loop, that will give you a phase pi. Okay, with these kind of topological data, let me show you what models will have those data. So, I think the simplest way to present this exact solvable models is like this. We can start with a stack of toric code and X cube models. So the toric code will have two terms, this star terms. But here, I think it's because we want to avoid some technical difficulties. So we don't no longer put the model on a pure cubic lattice. We actually assign also a vertex, also one more degree of freedom on like the extra edge term along the diagonal edge on each placate. So the star term will be decorated by more edges, but still it's a product of all the X operators emitted from a single vertex. And this fluxless condition will also now be defined on a triangle. And it's the product of Z operators around that triangle. And similarly, there's this X cube operators. Since this, the degree of freedoms are all on the placate. So there's no modification for that. And
I want to make sure for the TOEIC code, do the degrees of freedom live on the links?
They all live on the links or edges, sometimes I refer. It's just that.
For the two diagonals, only one of them has a degree of freedom.
No, the diagonal is a diagonal edge. So this is also an edge degree of freedom. So for each plaquette, on this plaquette center, there's one cubic on the plaquette. There's also another one cubic on the edge, on this diagonal edge.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here, in the figure you draw here, do you call the big square one plaquette or four plaquettes?
Big square?
Yeah, the upper figure, AV.
This is a single vertex term. Sorry, can you say it again? Well,
So you put some degrees of freedom on the diagonal of the squares, and each square has two diagonals.
Has one diagonal. For example, this, if you can see my cursor, this square has a single diagonal edge.
Okay, and you have to define some way to choose which edge to put degrees of freedom for each square?
No, each square, the Z2 is along this direction. So for example, this left upper square also has a diagonal edge like this, but this edge will not be emitted from this vertex. So it will not include it in this vertex term.
I see. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
This diagonal edge always have an orientation.
Okay, thanks.
Good, that's an important question. So then this, of course, have two sets of excitations already. And with the mobilities we wish to obtain. But then we need to hybrid the two orders. What we do is to buy a operator replacement. So for the X poly operators on each edge, we're going to decorate it by some CNOT gates around the edge. And for the poly operator Z on the plaquette, we're going to decorate it by some S operator, the phase operator. For example, plaquette, we're going to decorate it by three S operators like this. So if you work it out, you will find that operator replacement will do nothing to the plaquette term BP and the vertex term in the X cube model by going to change the other two terms into something like this. So just change that X operator to this case operators and taking care of the daggers because of the vertex edge orientation. And then it will modify this cage term into something like this. Also a product of some zeta P operators. So you can see that this operator replacement really hybrids the degree of freedom on the edges and those on the plaquettes. So these two sets of degree of freedoms are no longer separate. And more exactly, this operator replacement changed the generating algebra for these models. And this Casse operators, it has this property, if you square it, you actually got the poly X operators, but now defined on the plaquette. And depending on which edge you choose, sometimes it's a product of them, sometimes a single of them. And then if you take this zeta P operators, which define which hybrid the placket and the edge. Now you take the square root, it will be the pure poly Z operators defined on the edges. And then you check the commutation relation. For this zeta E operator, for this Kase E operator and zeta and Z E operators, they still form a poly algebra. And this XP operators and zeta P operators are also form this poly algebra. So if you look at the this operators purely on the edges, they are still poly algebras, and purely on the plaquettes, they're also still poly operators. However, if you check the commutation relation between some of the neighboring edge operator and the plaquette operator, for some of them, these two operators form this Z4 generalized poly algebra. They're going to be it means that this qubit E and qubit P, they together were going to form some Z4 qudit. So just by this operator replacement, and then you can work out the, and then you can find that this this the whole Hamiltonian are still commuting projectors and can be solved exactly. And then you take the original operators that creates all the excitations, also do this operator replacement. They're going to be the creation operators for the new excitations. The excitations will also be looked like this. There are E particles. This particle will be charged I under the modified AV terms and charged minus one under the X cube operator, a vertex term. And this flux-like excitation in the X cube model, they will stay still charged minus one under this case term. And then if you you use the creation operator, create two of this E particle as a single place. This single excitation now is charged minus one under this modified AV terms. And this excitation still can move around. And this loop operator excitation has nothing changed here. So what we found that this exact solvable models inherits all the excitations as the stacked models. But then
may I ask a quick question? Yeah, can you go back to the slide to show how you couple the fractal with the Z2 topological order? So you use the control knot and the S operate to redefine the plaquette and some edge term. So can you give me some introduction to why you need to define this way? Because this looks a little unnatural to me.
Yeah, that's going to be the next part of the talk. Why, exactly. How do we find this map? So far, just take that this decorated this X with some C naught and decorate this Z with some S operators. And then it will exhibit both the Z2 polyalgebra and the Z4 polyalgebra. And because of this previously just two separate Z2 polyoperator polyalgebra, but now there are also this Z4 polyalgebra sitting. And that's how this excitations of the two kinds now can fuse into each other.
Wenji, I just wanted to confirm something. So the coupled model is still a stabilizer model on qubits, right?
On qubits, yes.
Okay, so, I just want to make sure.
Z2 degree freedom on edges and Z2 degree freedoms on the plaquettes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so as you can recall that this zeta p operator square of it give you a single x operators on the plaquette. So this zeta p operators, each of them will going to create four fractals at these corners, just as the x cube models. But then you take two of them and product together, this operator will create operators that are going to be charged minus one under the modified toric code vertex term. So this the charges on these corners are going to be mobile charges. So the fusion rules previously was E times E equals to one as coming from the X cube. Now it's modified into this E times E into E squared. And more exactly is the modification of this M loop. So previously each single loop, you times them together will give you of the vacuum. But now you use the you take this product all the zeta e operators, you square it, you will find that what you left is this product of x operators, and at each corners it will violate this cage term. So on these corners, and if you work out the orientation, you will find that these are linons that can move in the perpendicular directions. So in the end, the fusion rule is now also modified. M loop times M loops give you M square fractals. But M square linons. Those linons sits on the corners of the original loops. And that's the modification of the fusion rule. Now we can come to the braiding of the two. So actually the statistical phases of the two can be summarized as this. So this is a single E fractal and the single M loop has a braiding phase of I. And because the M loop can move around, so it's very easy to imagine and work out the braiding process of that. But for the fractals and the M squared linons, it a bit are less familiar. And the way we define this braiding process is like this. We take a pair of E and E bar fractal dipoles. These dipoles can move within a plane. Then these linons, as they must follow the structure of the foliation, so they are well-defined objects within a plane. Then we can take this fractal dipole to braid around this single linons. And this process can be read out in terms of operators. And then we can find that there's a statistical phase of minus one between the two.
Wait, so this process, so this requires the line intersects with the surface?
The operators create linons is actually a string operator.
Yeah, it has to. So what's the purple surface?
It's a surface swept by the braiding process of a fractal dipole.
And only if they have intersection, there will be this minus one phase factor. Is it right?
Yes.
I see, thanks.
And then another less familiar is actually the braiding process that only appeared in this hybrid model is this E bar fractal dipoles now can also braid with a single corner of a M loop. So the fractal dipoles also move around within a plane. And actually, because of the loop, it's also need to follow this foliation structure. So it's the position of these corners is well-defined within a single plane. So then this is a well-defined phase to talk about a fracton dipole well, moving around the a single corner of an M loop. And if you work out the mass, you will find that now the statistical phase is I. So this is consistent with the fusion rule because E brace with M take up a phase I and E bar brace with M square take up phase minus one.
So NG, the first process, can you create linons in a way that you don't intersect with the surface by creating more linons?
Yes, actually you can. For example, you can, I think we can design that process. For example, each linon, like moving around this direction can also be created by linons in other two orthogonal directions. And probably one can work out a process that's, it will intersect with the surface even number of times so that single fragment does not go through this phase. But in any way, if the linons, the string does not intersect with this phase, it will not have the statistical phase.
I guess my question is whether this phase minus one is a topological one or not. If I can create a linons by applying some series of string operator that doesn't intersect with this purple and blue surfaces, then
I think you cannot create that totally does not intersect with this surfaces, but you can create, you probably may create some that intersect with them even number of times. Well, actually I'm not, so the one thing that I need to check, the only other possibility is to create this single linons by two linons along these two other directions. But as you see, one of the linons will intersect with this face as well. So the only exceptional examples in my mind actually still intersect with this face and will accumulate the same minus one face.
Can you arrange it in a way that they come out of the surface so that it avoids that both purple and blue surface?
For this 3D case, it's not possible because there are only linons moving along three directions, Z, X, Y, and Z. And this, say this X linons can only be created in another way by a pair of Y and Z linons. But since this face is, since this ribbon is defined within a plane, so we'll also, if this linon is created by another two linons, this ribbon will still intersect with one linons along another direction.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, for this 3D models, it's well-defined.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are the most interesting braiding process in these models. And all other braiding process, as you expected in your mind, they're still well-defined and we have checked that. And finally, so this this has shown that we already have the hybrid orders that show fulfill our definitions. The finally, we need to check if these models' topological orders are these excitations topological excitations. So for that, we need to check this ground state degeneracies, and we can compute it out that the ground state subspace indeed factorized into this X cube subsectors and toric cube subsectors. In other words, despite of that operator replacement, the ground state subspace are still the same as the stacked models. This is understandable because that operator replacements, if you apply it on a string of operators and square it, you actually will get the operators that's the product of your original commuting projectors. And in the ground state, these commuting projectors are a classical one valued. So these string operators are satisfy the same algebra as the stacked models. So in other words, the ground state are the same as the stacked models. And we can also check that these ground state space are stable against any local perturbations. This can be checked in many ways. For example, you may check it on some less trivial manifolds like the S3 and work out the degeneracy to be trivial. Or you can use some more strict definitions to be local, to be stable. Like there are some quantum information definitions of the stability of the ground states. And even with that, our model is qualified as a quantum cold models. So with that, I have shown you that we have exact solvable models that shows the topological orders of both the hybrid models. Then we come to this questions, why this map will intertwine the two orders just because this operator maps. So for that, I will need to tell you where does we obtain these maps. We actually start with a totally different strategy. We start with the Z4 paramagnets. So on each side, there is a Z4 qubits. And then we split the qubits into two qubits. And explicitly, the Z4 polyoperators will be splitted as such. And as you can see, Z4 poly Z operators will be split into the single Z and S operators. And Z4 poly X operators will be splitted into this poly X times the controlled operator. Then we do a two-step gauging. The first step, we dualize the green qubit into a qubit on the plaquette. This is also sometimes called gauging the subsystem symmetry. And the next step, we are going to dualize the other orange qubit into the qubits on edges. In this way, we can obtain a gauge theory that has degree freedoms both on the plaquettes and on the edges. And doing this, we will get this exact solvable hybrid model. Does this answer a question, Yuan? How we get this operator map?
Yes, thank you. It's beautiful.
So then doing this two-step gauging, we realize one thing that make this this ultimate model a hybrid model rather than a stacked model. That is because what we started some Z4 paramax, it has two kinds of symmetry. It has the Z4 global symmetry and the Z2 planar symmetries. The planar symmetries are along all the three directions. And during the first step, once you gauge this planar symmetry, you will get this X cube model stacked with some Z2 paramagnetics. But this residual Z2 global symmetry actually will be fractionalized on the X cube model, meaning that this fracton in the X cube model is going to be a projective representation of the Z2. So after you, then the next step, you can gauge this fractionalized Z2 global symmetry. And the ultimate model will be the hybrid model. So, but this, we realize this only afterwards, because if you directly start with step one, it's usually not very easy to design a local unitary symmetry that the fracton is fractionalized, that the symmetry is realized fractionalized on the fracton. So using this recipe, we can generalize in many ways. The first way is to generalize to a general abelian symmetry G. And then we can separate this qudit into a n qudits and a G over n qubit, qudits. And then we can do the same thing. You first gauge the n planar symmetry and then the residual global symmetry. And in general, you will find a hybrid model. And the next modification is the first step. Instead of gauging a planar symmetry along all the three directions, you will only gauge the, you will consider those qudits that only charged under two out of the three planar symmetries. And then gauge this kind of planar symmetry. And in this way, we get different types of hybrid model. In this way, this linons, you take two linons and fuse them, you will get a mobile charge instead. And then recall that previously, you take two fractons, you will get the mobile charge. And previously, you take two loops, they were fusing into some fractons at corners. But now you take two loops, they were fusing into immobile fractons at the corners. And finally, we can do this two-step gauging on and take the n subsystem symmetry as a fractal symmetry, maybe not.
I want to make, so here the key to obtain this hybridization is that after the first step, the fracton carries a projective representation. So if we do the second step, then when we fuse two fractons together, it's still some non-local object. But I guess what I missed is from the last slide, for a general case, how do I see there will be some projective representation?
It's not very obvious. It's okay, maybe I can shift. So once you factorize this qudits into two sets, this is to view the G global symmetry as a central extension of this N symmetry. So then after this two-step gauging, this degree of freedom on the edges and the degree of freedom on the plaquettes, they're related by their representations that are related by central extensions.
Oh, I guess, okay, I see. I guess, do you need to somehow carefully choose N for a particular G? For example, if G is not Z4, but Z2 or Z2, I guess you will not have it.
Yeah, if the central extension is trivial, you will not have, you will only get the stacked models.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay, then we take this N symmetry as a fractal symmetry and then do this two-step gauging. You will get this hybrid Haas model. It looks very similar to the first fractonic hybrid model I present. The operator replacement is the same, X into Kase, and Z into zeta. Just written like this. And then there also have all the two kinds of fractons that can be created in this triangular shape, tetrahedral shape. And more exotically, if you take two loops and you fuse them, you will get a bunch of this M squared type of fractons decorated along the original loop, but in this exotic shape. So it's reflects that this coming from a Haas model. Okay. So finally, I'll just say that this model is also a natural parent order of this Z2 gate theory and the Z2 fracton orders, because you just take that fractonic hybrid model and you turn on two kinds of perturbations. One is one perturbation is for the E square mobile charge. You turn on operators to create them, to let them fluctuate. And as if this fluctuation E square term is very large, by working out what excitations has trivial braidings with it, or what excitations have a non-trivial braiding with it, you can find the resulting phase after condensing this E square charge. And working out explicitly, we can find this is our X cube orders. On the other hand, if you turn on a large perturbation that hops the linons, that is to allow the linons to condense. And similarly, you can find that the resulting phase that the linon is condensed is the same as a toric cone orders. And these can also be worked out explicitly on exact solver models. And then we can obtain this kind of phase diagrams. We don't know the nature of, we may not know the nature of this transition, but for this a single transition along this vertical directions, if we restrict ourselves to low energy degree freedoms, so basically all those perturbations that commute with this zeta term, then we can find this is the same type of transition is falls into the universality of the Z2 Higgs transition. So that we can study, but in general we don't know the nature of the transition along this horizontal direction. So in this way we can say that our hybrid models and not only recover all the topological features of the Z2 gauge theory and the Z2 fracton orders, it can also transition, have a phase transition into these two different orders. So because of this, we call our models the parent orders of the two. And with that, I want to conclude that use this general construction, we are able to find out a family of hybrid models. By choosing different subsystem symmetry, we can have the hybrid models on particles with different mobilities we're going to fuse into mobile charges. And if you also allow yourself to choose more exotic symmetries like the fractal symmetries, you can get this hybrid Haas code. So with that, we are lead to further questions. We say how can we generalize to non-abelian cases? We're working on that. And does this exhibit all the symmetry fractionalizations? Is this going to be classified by this HF2 GA, where A is some abelian fractons? And can we also start not just with paramagnetism, but some SPT phase, and then do this two-step gauging. Are we going to get some twisted hybrid fractal orders? And also, this hybrid orders also have an X cube part, and that has extensive ground state degeneracy. Is this also a good candidate for topological quantum memory? And finally, since now we have a model that shows both the liquid and non-liquid features, are we going to have a unified description of both kind of phases? And we're looking forward to the field theory description for this as well. With that, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Wenjie, for the very nice talk. So yeah, any questions from the audience?
A small thing. Do people know that symmetry fractionalizations on fractons are classified by H of 2, G, comma, whatever? I actually don't know what that A means. Is some abelian fracton?
People don't know. We are guessing that from the symmetry enrichment of 2D topological orders.
But that is based on the G cost tensor category. It relies on breeding. I feel it kind of relies on that the excitations can move.
I think that's separate questions. You mean the abelian part come from that it can move? I would not think so. I thought that this is how this G symmetry can be assigned to some abelian particles. And why I say that they two are related more because this X cube model is described by some tensor gauge theory. So you actually can start with this paramagnetic magnets and gauge the subsystem symmetry. But in any way, the topological data are still going to be labeled by some charges and by some fluxes. This is about the same. And.
Yes, sorry, yeah, go ahead. I have a related question, but you should finish first.
So we think that we can label, and then the fractal orders, you can also start with gauging a subsystem symmetry, and the excitations are also going to be labeled by some charges and fluxes of some finite gauge group. It's just purely from this excitation data, we guess that the symmetry fractionalization might be labeled by this HF2 GA. So the consistency condition to check is the fusion of those of these charges and fluxes, just purely as a topological labels, they should be consistent with the group the symmetry action.
Yeah, so I have a question related to the Liu Jun's previous one. So my question is, should I consider a fracton with the zero form symmetry or one form symmetry? Because if we consider it's a zero form symmetry, if we want to extend the Z2 by Z2, this central extension is described by H2. But if it's a one form symmetry, so we need to consider a two group gauge theory. So in this case, if we want to extend a zero form with one form symmetry, the data requires H3 instead of H2. But I feel that the subsystem symmetry is more like a one form symmetry. So we are doing a symmetry extension by the zero form Z2 with some one form Z2. So I will expect the data is H3. So this is my confusion.
I don't know if we also need the extra data of H3, but I do believe we need the data of H2. Even for the symmetry enriched topological phase, just the anion models, they actually rely both the data, right? Those are, if you consider, But in any way, actually, now we are start with a fractal model and gauge a zero form symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
And in the anion models, we also gauge a zero form symmetry. So you want to differentiate the subsystem symmetry as a zero form or one form symmetry. The analogy in the anion model is to consider the one form symmetry in the anion model itself. All I'm saying is that even for the anion models where the anions have a symmetry broken one higher form symmetries, it's still HF2 that needs there. But there are also actually HF3 that's also needed for full classification.
Okay, thank you.
Could you say a bit more about the quantum memory? So like, is the statement that coupling to 3D Tor code somehow makes for a better quantum memory or?
I think we are just curious because purely a 3D topological order is not a good quantum memory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now those those perturbations or excitation, like open string of defects, they actually break with the excitation coming from the X cube models.
Uh-huh.
So
this is how their like diffusion at finite temperature gets messed up by the statistics you're saying, maybe, or?
Yeah, we just wonder what this statistic do.
I see.
At the beginning, you also mentioned there's the real space RGB picture for many known phases. Did you try to apply that to your hybrid phase?
We haven't. We're also very curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very obvious how to do that. What would the circuits be like? Yeah, well, we're not sure.
Okay, I think we had a lot of questions. So let's all thank Wenjie for the nice talk.
Thanks.